Welcome to the Eagles Nest Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this recent message by Senior Pastor Tim Winter.
Particularly like, boy, I felt like, especially when, both you guys, when you minister, and I love the gifts that God has given to you. I'm so honored to be your friend, associated with you in ministry in this great end time harvest of souls. And it's good to hear other voices talk about Jesus, isn't it? I think that's why we have four gospels. But Mike, thank you for your perseverance. And Clark, he gave you a track. Did you put that on the wall? Or that was kind of a cool little get your attention. And thank you for the 2 minute. I thought, wow, this is like Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady with the last 2 minutes. Man, he's going to turn the game around and win the game right here. Thank you for that very anointed presentation of God's love. God loves us beautiful, and we are beautiful through Jesus Christ coming under the blood. I'd like you to open your Bible to 1 John chapter 1. Oh, and could we raise up the screen? Today we're going to have I want to let you look at the sun. Say, let the sun shine in. Well, there it is. Thank God for Sister Pauline Lewick, one of our former leaders in the arts and in drama and executive skills. She took her, I think, 2.5 years to put all this together. And you might just get used to it, but just come on up here. There's gold and actual real gold glitter on there. And one day she fell off the scaffold, you know, just checking out her angles. That is a scale model she used. It's amazing, amazing sculpture. And then she said, Tim, I think I'm not done. I said, well, what do you mean? She says, I want to turn that baptismal into a symbol of a portal from heaven. Did you just catch that? A portal from heaven? And she said, I saw a crown in one of the places, and we have crowned the King of Kings here, and the Jewish leaded glass representation along with the cross of the Lord. Just a lot of imagery, a lot of different giftings can present the message of Christ. So I wanted to let you do that and take a look at your Bible today. In 1 John chapter 1, I want to add to your life here today. And this kind of comes along what we were talking about in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, looking unto Jesus. But now I'd like to add to it, declaring Jesus. In 1 John chapter 1, the scripture says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Let's agree in prayer. Father, I ask that you would perform that good work that you have purposed to do in our hearts here today. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that's already initiated the praise that resides in our spirit. You prompted us, you led us, you modeled it through worshipers, and we joined in that great chorus of praise, glorifying the King who is worthy of all praise. Now, will you continue to perform your good work and encourage us in the way in which we're to go? And then, will you give us the grace to perform that which you show us here today? In Jesus' name, I thank you for an open heaven in this place. I want to talk about declaring Jesus and the sharing that I want to do is not so much a teaching as it is an announcement And then I would like to invite you to action today. I want to do that. And it's coming out of the scriptures here, and I want to encourage you in the reading of your scripture. John is one of the ones that followed the instruction in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 that we used as an opening of a scriptural series of messages before I left, that we're looking unto Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. John was one that was looking and continued to look and had something to say about it. I would like to point out four occurrences that took place after a revelation came to him. Something was revealed to John, and as a result of that, he needed to do something with that. The action he took was to declare, to testify, to proclaim this wonderful thing that he had discovered. And God used the senses for him to discover it. So let's take a look at that. The first thing I want to show is that in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1, the scripture says, that which was from the beginning. Will you say, that which was from the beginning? I've noticed in church life, this is, in fact, this morning, 40 years ago, I was doing my second sermon up at the University of Wisconsin, Oshkosh, where I began to minister a week ago, or last Sunday, with the minister who's still, he's on our board of directors, Andy Shanholz, was guiding a team of young Bible students and hungry people for the Lord, and said, Tim, will you fill in the leadership? I can't be there. And so 40 years ago, I didn't think I was ready, but I got ready, and I actually enjoyed being used of the Lord and began to share the scriptures in there. Then I think it was 3 weeks in a row where we were up there in Oshkosh ministering in 1979. And took the Lord 3 years to kind of settle some things in me, but then I was able to start articulating and sharing it. And then 20 years ago, this morning, 40 years ago we started, 20 years ago, this ministry started. Some of you were there, and Kathy and others, and Clark and Linda, and my mother and father and family members. But we started, Lindy, I remember Lindy and your family helping us. We were at the Menominee Falls Community Center. And boy, you announced, put the flyer out there. We did radio. I enjoy radio work and all that for the other work that we did at Harvest. I was kind of like the radio voice. And it was a lot of fun. With a senior pastor doing the work of the senior leader, it freed me up as kind of the executive associate pastor to do a lot of that. It was a lot of fun. But here's what I want to share. When you make an announcement, a new thing is coming. Everybody, it's like, you know, in the dark of the night, you turn on the outside light. Everything comes. And then when this natural light rises, everything leaves. No more bugs anymore. Where'd they all go? Well, they're still there. And I've noticed in church that people come to a church probably for three reasons. And I didn't Google this. I've learned this experience, and it's okay. You can't really get around it because we're all pretty much the same. People come to have an encounter or to experience God, so they come for God. I should be able to hear them. You know, I'm the drunk crawling on the step. If I can't knock, the church doors are locked. My goodness. That's why churches in the old days would always be open. That's why right next door to the church, the pastor lived, the priest lived, the nuns lived, because the people need help when they need help. And that's important. So people come for God, God's presence. The other reason is people come for the people's presence. You bring your friend, those are my friends. Business people come. A lot of them will go to a large church because they want to work their network and meet people and sell their gift, and you know, that's okay. People are people. Shouldn't be the primary reason, but it is very often a primary reason. The third reason is because of what the people that gathered there have presented. They come, did you see the size of that building? Oh, when are we going to get the lasers? Oh, they give free pizza. They give free food. People come for what the people do. People come for the people, or people come for the presence. And so as leaders in the church, as believers, we want to understand that. And then when you're reaching out to people, kind of just, I'm looking at my finger, putting it up in the air, kind of see which way their wind is blowing. Why do you think they're here? We may not learn that right away, but one thing I want you to know is that why I'm here is the first phrase of this scripture. I'm here to declare that which was from the beginning. I'm not here to say, we got the latest. You know, I remember I was gone to North Carolina one time in the early 2000s. Pastor, we need a, they'll come if we change the paint. I mean, I'm serious. We got to change the paint. I said, okay, point that thing somewhere else. Change the paint. Don't get it all over the rug. When I come back, I'll be okay. I came back and holy cow, did they change the paint. I mean, they turned this to, you know, box blood red and people walked in there. You know, but anyways, we're not here to do that. I'm not here to boast in the largest church in Wisconsin. I'm here to declare that which was from the beginning. There's no new message that we have under the sun. There's no new method. Now, methods and opportunities will change. I hope you're using the internet to learn. You can get a college degree or the equivalent for free. There is no excuse for ignorance in this generation. If you need a job, we're going to believe together, and thank God Rudy got a job. I got the testimony coming. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Come on, brother. Did you get to the new restaurant yet? It's called Rudolfo's Pizzeria. Yes. I already see it. There you go. Got that. Okay, so we come for the people, or we come for what they do, or we come for God. Here, I hope you're here for the Lord, and that's important. The scripture says this in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. This is Genesis 1:1. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. So God allowed darkness in what he created? Yeah, he's the Lord of the darkness. It took me a long time to realize that, but he really, really is. He's the Lord of the darkness, and he created darkness in juxtaposition with the light. And I've made the Lord, one of the things that has really helped me in my life and it has bred confidence in my walk with Jesus, is this fact: how to make Jesus the Lord of your failures. You know, I was at a point, well, I'm going to be the guy that, I'm not going to do that, I'm not going to make this mistake, I'm not going to make that mistake. I thought, you know what? Mistakes are part of life. Looking unto Jesus, running into that wall in the race course, that's part of being a driver. You learn to do your best, and God will take care, forget about the rest. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Holy Spirit, have your way in here. And God said, let there be light. It didn't say he created light. He said, allow this to be. Permit this to be realized. It was already in him. Now he was going to express it. Let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and darkness he called night, and evening and morning were the first day. So in the very beginning, in the first words of Scripture, we're given the information that there was a beginning where God already pre-existed, and he was manipulating, he was creating, he was expressing. And the expression of that first thought was light. And God moved the light alongside of the darkness. Now let me move to John chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning God's creating and he's expressing light. John chapter 1, in the beginning. Will you say in the beginning? John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him, in this Word God, in this Word, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Goes on to say down in verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness. Say, bear witness.
Bear witness.
Bear witness of that light, that all men through him might believe. That all men through not John the Baptist, but Jesus the Christ, the Word God. And he was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light that lights every man that comes into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, but the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, which were not born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of the will of God. And verse 14, and that word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 15, John is writing about what happened in the beginning. He's writing so that we could understand what happened to him. And then he's writing so that we could have the same thing happen to us. Let me say that again. He's writing about what happened in the beginning. I'm here to call you to action this morning. In your garden, in your farm field, there's a crop that's halfway through its growing season. Like it or not, it's there. If it's fallow, well, you know, you're not going to have a harvest check, but what you will have is a more rested field next year. See, these are all in God's economy and plans. And your life is like that. I felt like these worship songs, it's like, gosh, if I could just get some more seed in the seed. You remember before Monsanto came through, before we left to go to Carolina, and they came through it there. I don't know, it cost $1 million. This rig is, the wheels, I think, are 8 foot. They're 4 foot on the axle, so they can ride over the crop, and she can spread out 72 feet, and she spread. I know the lady. I've talked with her about, please keep your pesticides and suicides and herbicides off of my, or whatever I said I meant. Keep that off of our ground. We're going live. We're going clean. Okay? Amen. Keep that. And actually, Curie was out, or Emily was out. I can't remember which one of my daughter-in-laws was out. We were all going to take a walk, and all of a sudden we smelled. I didn't even know they were back there, and we could smell the wind shifted. Let's go for cover. But that's one way to kill the weeds. Another way to kill the weeds is to have so much seed that the good stuff takes over and doesn't give nutrients to the bad stuff. The good stuff takes over the bad. That's why you want to sing a song to Jesus, because the good stuff is creating that bumblebee environment, and that'll just stay in your mind for however long it stays. And when it goes, sing it again. And before you know it, you'll be getting up and going to bed with the good stuff happening in your life. So when you greet someone, hey, aren't you having a great day? Not, I'll tell you what, do you see what so-and-so? You know, the good stuff's coming out. John said this, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard with our ears, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and our hands have handled. We're talking about the pizza? We're talking about the lasers? Oh, gosh, you should see the... One time I was at a church. It was a huge church in Rockford in the early 90s. Our ministry was growing with 600-700 people. It's fun having more people. But when all the people go, it's still you, and what are you singing? It's you and Jesus. And I remember one guy's out, I was discipling him. He came out of the sanctuary, and a, you know, international speaker was, we paid to take all these people down there. I said, hey, the training's in there. It's beautiful. It's anointed. And I'll never forget. Hey, he's walking around in his German confident. Something bothering my friend. What's the matter? I can't look at that. I said, my goodness, it's anointed. I can't stop. Do you see what she's wearing on that stage? How in the world could you? That's not God. I can see every. Okay. I can see every shape, ripple, dimple, and whatever else. And I think, okay. I guess I didn't notice, but I guess you're right. He wasn't hearing what she was singing. He was looking at how she looked. It's true. There's stuff true everywhere around you. Are you able to look to Jesus in every situation? John said, oh, He's writing this from an imprisoned situation on the Isle of Patmos at the elder age of between 86 and 92. His gospel, it's different, but it was the last one presented to us that was canonized. And it took him a while to sort through this, but he realized that he grew in confidence. He realized that he had a story to tell. I'm calling you to action to start telling the story about who you know who was long here before you. His name is Jesus. I don't know how he's going to give you the opportunity to do it, but you must do it. You must do it. You must do it. And I'm here to do it. That which was from the beginning. Here in John 1:15, let me go back. John 1:15, John the apostle or the writer is now talking about John the Baptist. And he goes back to his story. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, the life was the light of men. God sent a man, His name was John, and so forth. I hope you've memorized that by now. It's good. Turn off the baseball scores, turn off daytime TV, get your nose out of Facebook and your heart into God's book. Start learning the truth and rolling it over and over. I came in and Pastor Clark, I thought, holy ghost, I'm in the right place this morning. It's just rolling out of him. Last week at the end of his message, I thought, slow down. It's like I'm gathering. It's too much, Lord. It's just rolling out of him. But then John says this about John the Baptist. John bore witness. Say, bear witness. I'm here to bear witness. I came home and got my mail and going through all the important stuff yesterday. Just had a fun drive with the Lord and my wife, and we're empty nesters, empty van. Gosh, Lord, what am I supposed to do with the rest of my life now? I don't have kids to raise. opened the mail, and I got a purple one from Waukesha County Justice Department. You are summoned to serve as a juror, 18th of August through 8/23. So I had to call on some of you. I already bailed out of that so many times. I think I'm going to just go see what it's like. I called him up and said, you probably don't want me sitting on that. I'm going to be so full of mercy. I hope it wasn't an axe murderer because I'm going to pardon him. I'm going to pardon him. Oh, my. Okay, next. That was this summer already. I got to marry my daughter. So here's what I'm saying. To bear witness, say bear. Do this. If you're whatever you're doing, you got your Roomba, your lifters. It means carry a load. I'm bearing witness to that which was from the beginning. But so is Mike. So is Lowell. 37 souls yesterday saved at Washington County Fair. He called me up. I thought, my goodness, I just got home. Who knows I'm home? It's Lowell, of course. He says, you still driving or are you at home? I said, I'm at home, but I'm unpacking. I'm reading the Word and getting ready for tomorrow. He said, well, and he just started giving me a little, Meredith, Josie, Jonathan. He said, these have already gotten saved this afternoon. I need help. Send someone. 37 souls by the time his watch was. How many hours? How many were long were there? 5 hours. Nice. Brothers, stand up. Will you just stand, him and his wife? You're bearing witness to what Jesus has done. This isn't about Lowell. It's not about Tim. It's not about our laser lights. It's about what Jesus has done. Yes, to God be the glory. And Wanda, thank you for making that possible. It takes two. Thank you, Wanda. Well, if the Lord sends you to Texas or Florida, know that we love you. We bless you. But John bore witness and said, he's pointing people to Jesus. This is he of whom I spoke, that he that comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, grace for grace, for the law was given, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So that which was from the beginning. I like John's angle here. I want to spend some time in 1 John. I know, Wendy, I remember you studying that when you were still in college in the Thrive group. You guys, gosh, Stacy's been preaching lately. Thank you for your heart to follow the Lord and then to express it. What good is my heart if it's overbursting, but I never say anything about it? I want to talk to you about that in the next couple of weeks. Because like Martin Smith, I got a story to tell. I can't preach, but I sure can sing. See, the neat thing about a song coming out of the people that know God is in about 3 or 4 minutes, you're going to get something that was prepared. It was looked at. It was wrestled with, and they put their best touch on it. And in 3 minutes, you got an eternal message probably. It might be from God horizontally, and that's okay, because if people don't know, how will they know unless we tell them? So I'm calling on you to use the rest of this summer to take a look at what's growing in your life. And if you need to do some weed pulling, yesterday I went back to Project Joseph and the oak tree's growing, thank you, Jesus. And there's 39 tomato plants. They're organic. My terminology is right. Maybe Christian could help me, but they've been produced by a professional grower, and they give me their seeded plants. So I planted them this big after the wedding. And now they're this big, but so are the weeds. But it's very easy in that trough inside the barn. So in about 40 minutes, I had all the weeds done, pulled, so all the good growth is there. And if you catch the weeds before they release their seed, it's easier. Then you don't have to worry about them. Just lay them down. If they're noxious, don't touch them. Let them go back into the ground before they release their seeds. We have the call from God to share what we have witnessed. John is crying out, this baptism isn't about me. When I was preaching last week on the beach, thank you, Clark, for that mention. In fact, the three boys and their dad that was privileged to lead them to the Lord in Myrtle Beach when we were ministering on Thursday evening at a Bible study there that's growing and thriving, it's increasing. And a dad who's come out of alcoholism and he's in, you know, a new season in his life, brought his three boys. They heard about our family, and God's just let the word get out ahead of us. People come to, you know, they might come for the people. My dad used to haul the trailer. We hauled the trailer, and my dad would open up the trailer. We fed people out of our overflow. We used to fill it full of canned goods till it's a 2,000-pound. It'd be, the tires when they're humming. Empty it out of the church parking lot, and so sometimes people would come for that. But our heart as a family is always that in the people or what the people do, the building, the presentation, they would get the presence of the Lord. That's what John is saying. In order for you and I to be successful at that, we need to know that what we're talking about didn't begin with me. I don't have a better angle, a better message than our Baptist brothers down the road. We are talking about the same Jesus. My upbringing as a Catholic, they are hungering after the Lord in their way. And it's not for me to say that's a bad way. I used to do that. I've learned, gosh, Lord, will you forgive me 1,000,000,000 times? Will you forgive me? And he has, but you know how the human thing gets going. But we too bear witness of the grace of Jesus Christ and of the fullness of the blessing of salvation. This didn't begin with us. And, you know, sometimes you listen to a preacher, especially an evangelist, this didn't begin with us, and hey, I got news for you. It ain't going to end with you either. If you don't give before I leave this place, you're going to burn in hell. I can smell the smoke already, you know. Now, if you're standing up, you get up, and if you get up, you come up. And I thought, God, is that what it's all about? No! No, because you know what? God was where you were last night. He's where you'll be next Friday night. If you get to hell, he's already there. And if you go there before the end of life experience, and that's up to God, it's happened to some, then I hope when you get back, you'll flee those flames. But if it's afterward, you'll find that he's a flaming guard that you cannot ever get out. There's a great gulf fixed. And so we are commissioned to talk about it. There's four things here in this message, and I don't have time today other than I'm going to jump to the end. And I hope you'll come back. I hope you'll bring somebody. What we're talking about, and I make sure, that's why, you know, I don't want to be some picayunist control freak or anything like that, but I want to know what these guys are going to say before, or ladies, before they stand up here. You're not going to hear when the world's going to end here. You're not going to hear about, you know, you can buy corn it'll last 40 years because, you know, the Antichrist is coming and he's going to, phooey on all that stuff. When Jesus left, the angels said, hey, now go back and start doing what he said. Preach the word. Love people, and do what you can to bring people to the kingdom. Jesus will take care of the rest. Is the world going to end? Well, yeah, in God's time, and Jesus doesn't even know about that, so why should we spend time talking about what Jesus doesn't even know? I don't know. I never did figure that out. But this message didn't begin with us, and it will not end with us. We're stepping into the blessing of this heavenly gift. We partake of it. Like Clark said this morning, it's like a seed planted in your spirit, man, and the seed grows, chokes everything else out. It's like I was talking with a very successful businessman down there, and we kind of got on to current events at the end of our conversation. And I said, man, I guess I'm getting old. I'm spent. I've read too much. And he's older than me. He said, yeah, me too. He said, I hate what's going on out there. I said, you know what? I do too, with a perfect hatred. People calling evil good, good evil. We're championing the people that are directly disobeying what God wrote in his word. It's like, whoa, at least be quiet about it. Don't say, hoorah. Where do I go get that? It's like, where's the stoplight? Where's the crossing guard? Where's the train whistle? Where are the disciple makers? What's the message? The message is what we've heard from the beginning, that there's always darkness, but in the midst of darkness, there will always be a light that shines. Tim Winter is the light. Jeremiah said, I will gather them one of a city and two of a family. I'm one in my family. To call you to the high places of God, to call you to the next season, to say, hey, that's thistle there. And if you get it while it does look pretty when it's purple, when that releases 1,000 seeds, oh, I was thinking about that last night as I was mowing the grass. All right, I'm going to invent a lawnmower, and don't do this on me, Ian, or engineer. I'm going to invent a Hustler zero turn. It's going to have an electronic button that... And the weed whackers, right there. And then, because it's you need it, you know. I mean, Terry brings his John Deere, the Waukesha County one that we'd like to have for the farm. It's only $50,000. Maybe you'd like to help me with that today. How much does a mower cost? $13,000. Okay, just making it even $65,000, we'll be good. I'm serious. You know, that thing hits, it'll take the pine trees down. I said, Terry, watch this, Pastor Tim. Stop. I'm serious. He pulls off, and I said, well, my driveway's wider. And Colleen says, thank God. Holy ghost. And the next thing my Hustler mower is going to have is a little hydraulic picker-upper. Because here, sometimes my dad and David Branscombe, I want to honor these guys. They've taken care of this property. We're going on 20 years, folks. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm in ministry. I'm not a golf course purveyor, so I would say to David, do you think we even needed it? Well, yeah, Pastor Tim, there was a dandelion out there on 2 acres. Here's what I wanted to say. I did exactly what I thought my dad. Well, I could see he didn't get off the mower today. No, he just tin can. Well, poof. A newspaper. First thing we did last night, get off the mower. I felt so strong driving home. I've had the strength of 10 men. I'm ready to do the Lord's work. Andy's backing down the mower, and the tire derimmed. I thought, oh, no, this one-hour job just turned into a two-hour job. So guess what I did when I saw the newspaper? Boof! And the tin cans. I thought, yep, I can't get around. I'm just like, and so afterward, I spent... 30 minutes picking everything up, and I thought, how stupid am I? I thought, I'm just like my dad. And I thought, okay, here's how I'm going to train the next generation of mowers. Now, to get any blessing out of this, you have to finish the job, which means clean up. So would you rather clean up one piece or 1,000 pieces? Would you rather clean up one piece or 1,000 pieces? One. Then do it first. We need to share the gospel immediately. We need to share it immediately. John bore witness. He's carrying this weight, and he got the light off of him. There he is. That's Jesus, the one I was talking about. What's the message? Well, I don't have time to develop the sensory realm, but John is identifying that which we have heard with our ears, that which we have seen with our eyes, that which we looked upon, that gets to my sermon or it's good. It's a book in the works. I'm excited about it. And that which we have looked upon, that's the steady gaze. I can't take my eyes. I use my wife as an example. That's why I married her. I kept my focus on her. You keep your eyes on it, and then that which we've handled with the word of life. I want to develop those Because I'm telling you that you're not seeing what God wants you to see. If you were, you'd be hauling home that. And David, there's the last ride of the boat. It was over 50 inches. I've measured the floor of the boat because I got this little grudge match going between my son and now my son-in-law. Who caught the biggest fish in the Atlantic Ocean? Mitch caught a barracuda. I mean, you should have seen. It's like a Doberman pincher mouth. You don't even want to get near one of those. You can't eat them, but they sure was fun watching him catch it. Finally got it in the boat, hold that thing out there, and we couldn't eat it. He said, "Dad, I'm mounting this." I said, "I think you'd better mounting something we could eat." And anyways, last year, David caught the king mackerel that was, I mean, maybe a quarter inch longer or shorter, but, you know, I'll let you talk to those guys who caught the biggest fish. But if you have a message, if you've caught something worth talking about or putting on the wall, please tell somebody. You've had the Lord in your senses that you probably haven't realized it, and John was identifying that. Remember my closing with the book of Job in the looking unto Jesus? Job was complaining, finally got to complaining. If you're around complainers, guess what you're going to do? You know what? Oak trees produce acorns, which produce oaks. In fact, there's an oak tree growing out here. There's one right there next to the right next to the roses that Kiri planted. Now, how did that acorn get there? There's no oaks on this property. I want to let you know the oak tree in my backyard that I personally rescued from the till of a tractor when my brother bought his house, and we were there before my dad was, and we bought a house out there, just an old rundown property. And I enjoyed bow hunting, and I went out there. It was the fall of the season, and the plow had come through to take the harvest, but not the earth mover to till it up. And there was a little oak that's in its second year, right on the edge, and I rescued that thing because I love trees. I planted it in my backyard. Now that thing's about this big. It was a chestnut and a burr combined. There was two spigots kind of. I tried to graft and keep them all. I lost the chestnut, but the residue of the chestnut is still in the burr. And, you know, they blended, kind of like God allowed the bloods of men to blend. And it's been producing acorns, but now I have seven little oaks that are just growing up underneath. There's oaks here. And I felt like that was a sign to me that what I began with my hands is producing fruit. And the next generation is on its way. So I've got little sticks there. If you're going to volunteer and help me mow this grass, don't mow that. If you're going to volunteer and help me mow my grass, don't mow where the little sticks are up. Because at the proper time, now proper timing is important. I'm going to move those. Now we have a farm to put them on. And we'll let them grow in the forest. Job said, "My eye sees you." I've got some exciting things to share with you. I want to close with the closing of this scripture. John said, "That which we have seen with our eyes, or heard with our ears, seen with our eyes, that which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life, declare we unto you, and we testify." So that's not God doing that anymore. That's Tim doing that. That's John doing that. See, John discovered the secret. Remember, he was the insecure man that had the other disciple, the one that could run fast. I leaned on his breast. I think he liked me more. That guy. Now it's John is speaking confidently. It's in first person many times. I want you to get to the first person in sharing about Jesus. Because it's not good enough just to tell what I have seen. It's the most important and powerful tool you have in your toolbox is your testimony. What has Jesus done for you? Someone out there needs to know. And the adventure in life is finding them. Paul said it this way. Well, David said it when he looked at Goliath and said, he didn't say what he was around. He was around complainers and cowards. Cowardice can get a hold of all of us. It manifests in many ways. When you're under the anointing, you can see it. People shrivel back, talk, you know, don't want their words to be clearly understood. This is what I saw. This is what I looked upon. This is what I heard. And this is what I've handled of the word of life. That's important. Well, when you grow up or as you get older, you decide. Do you want to be Jenny or Joey? There are things that aren't open for discussion and left for decision. The decision's been made. The mold's cast. We need to stand up like Paul. David said to Goliath, "Who are you, uncircumcised Philistine, that would dare to stand against the armies of God and defy his name?" I want to call you to an undefiable place in your life. There's nothing, you should have heard Lowell. I thought, gosh, I sound like I'm hearing someone on the phone that just, you know, won the lottery, or the kid that just got 7 taffy apples and he's eating them all. He's on a sugar high. You know what? I am so excited. I got to hang up. There's more coming. I thought, Lord, thank you. There's nothing else like releasing living water that feeds the eternalness in someone else. That eternalness is there, but unless it's plugged into Jesus, it will exist inside a human being for how many ever years? And you know what happens after that? Boy, I'm waxing evangelical right now. But you know what happens after that? The Bible says that the angels go and take that spirit life and give it back to God. And the soul is damned away from him because it never knew him. It doesn't matter how much money you've had. Or if you've discovered your gender or not, what matters is that you've plugged your life into the giver of life, who is Jesus. And God saw in his jurisprudence, I'm not going to use the angels, I'm not going to use the four beasts, the elders, I'm not going to use the living creatures, I'm not going to use the mountains, I could use Psalm 19. You've heard this message. Oh, I don't know it like you. Yes, you do. You don't know you've heard it. Here, I'll give you the proof. Psalm 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God and the earth shows his handiwork. The heavens are declaring this. The earth is showing his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night declares knowledge. In the darkness there's knowledge that light is coming. You think the drunk, you think the drug addict, you think the 5 times married and still crashing and burning at the well of Jacob, you think she wanted that to continue? The answer is no, because Jesus said, "Here I am, do you want out?" Yes. That's you, that's me. In every place where you go, I don't care if you're an educator or a trash collector, or if you're a philosopher, if you're in retirement, they need to know what you know. David said he got this revelation. This is coming from God all the time. What's that great healing evangelist? No. Not yet. Oral Roberts. Thank you. Great teacher, very anointed man. He said he discovered this. I've discovered this, and I want you to hear it and discover it. Your miracle is coming past you, is coming towards you, or going past you every day. Every day, God's real. Every day his mercy is available. And you get to declare it. David said to Goliath, "Who are you?" And you know what happened. He stepped forward in what he did. He threw stones at little wolves and coyotes and lions and bears to protect his father's sheep. God got in that stone offering and brought down Goliath, and David took off his head. Paul said it this way, and go back to the looking unto Jesus if you need to be reminded who Paul was. His name was Saul, and he consented unto the first martyr, Stephen. But Paul now was in similar places, and he said unto King Agrippa when he was questioned for his faith, he said, "I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision." I want to encourage you in the next couple of weeks. I want to introduce you to the signs that you've seen. David said through his downline Asaph in Psalm 74, "We see not our signs, neither is there a prophet among us, neither have we heard." He's declaring that we don't need CNN, we don't need Fox News, wrestling with CBS, wrestling with the president. We need someone that's heard the voice of God and can clearly articulate what God wants us to do. God wants us to know that Jesus is a giver of life, he's a forgiver of sins, and he restores paths to dwell in. That's what the church is. That's what my life is. That's what your life is. King Agrippa said in Acts 26, I'm out of time, I could save this for next week, I probably should. I will, because it's really rich. Here's 1 John. These were purchased and donated. My father's bought a lot of Bibles. Thank you. Lowell was giving Bibles away at the fair. Thank you, brother. So there's no reason why you can't do this. John said this, and here's what I need you to know. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, which we have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest. It's not out there somewhere. It's not the good guy upstairs. I hope it all works out at the end. No, no. It was manifested. He's here right now by his Spirit talking to you and talking to me. That life was made manifest. We have seen it and testify to it and proclaim you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest in us. Here's the reason. Now, we've been discussing a truth and the occasion for presenting that truth through the senses. I'll talk about the senses. Yes, God wants to use you. Here's the reason. We're talking about that life that was made manifest. And we proclaim to you so that you too may have fellowship with us. So that you too might have fellowship with us. Just, I want to help you with this. This isn't about Tim the preacher going to Carolina or going with these prison ministers to a captive audience or going with, you know, the excitement of a youth pastor. This is about people that don't know God. Don't miss this, because this is one of the reasons I'm here today. This is about people that don't know God getting to know you because you connect them to God. Listen to this. Oh, look in your Bible, 1 John chapter 1. John discovered this and he said, oh, gosh, I wish everyone, he said, I wish my children would walk in truth. My three children are walking in truth. They're living under the passions of this burden. They carry this testifying load. That life was made manifest. I've seen it. I testify and proclaim to you eternal life, which was with the Father and made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, proclaim we also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. That's why we're writing these things to you, so that your joy might be full. Isn't that powerful? I want people to be happy. Clark said last week, I want you to be beautiful. And he works on the outside in order that he could get that beauty to the inside. I want you to joy to overflow. Will you stand? Are you ready for that? I want to help you see the signs that you've been driving right past. Oral Roberts said, your miracle is coming towards you or going past you every day. And here's what's very important. John gave us the core of the message. The result was that people would have fellowship with us so that they can get to know Jesus. And here's the message, that we have fellowship. This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him, if we say that we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Father, I thank You that if we confess our sins, that You are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I just speak the reality of that message that didn't start with me, it didn't start with Billy Graham, didn't start with the contemporary church move, the electronic music. It was from the beginning. You are a God who created life and expressed that life with light and continue to draw us to that light with Your love. So there was light because there was love. Mm-hmm. And because there was light, there was life. Where there's darkness and no light, there's no life. So I just proclaim and I testify, part of my life purpose is to stir up the gifts in others and get them back on the race course. I speak healing, I speak forgiveness, and I speak the friendship, lordship of Jesus Christ. He became friends to those people that needed to have true joy. Lord, we just present ourselves to You now as those living sacrifices, completely acceptable, as You're growing us in this growing season of 2019, midsummer. Will You dismiss us with Your goodness and blessing, In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Would you bring someone next week, tell them they'll learn about the signs that God gave them they may have not even seen. And if you'd like personal prayer, our elders are here. They want to pray with you. And we certainly want to give you some food products to take home. God bless you. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to a recent message by Senior Pastor Tim Winter. Please visit EaglesNestChurch.net.